Well, we are a select group of young people this morning. So here we are. We broke off from Elisha to have our Christmas young people's service. What we call it these days, young people's service. So we are back to him today. And if you remember, and I forgot the Velcro to go with it, we had last time, it was Elisha with his famous bald head. And we had the woman, you remember, who had difficulty. She was in debt, had her creditor bearing down upon her, no means to pay, went to the prophet of God, and he promised her that she should, if she went home, gather as many vessels as she could, staring defeat in the face. How is this going to help? Well, she had a little oil at home, didn't she? Just a little oil at home. And that oil just kept coming and coming, and she ended up filling, well, as many pots as they had, until they had no more. And that was the result. Full amount. And they could pay off their debts, had enough to survive on. And we thought of Elisha. And we said of him that he's a type of Christ. We said of him, we said that there are things that he does, things that he does that are reminding us the Lord Jesus. He's like an example to us. Remember, don't we, there, the water turned into wine at the wedding in Cana, and how, just like Elisha did. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ doing it himself. How interesting, you should say. How interesting, because that's the way we're just going to do something of a Bible study this morning. Right, and here's the heading. Here's the heading. Velcro's there, good. There's something familiar about this, right? This book, you see, is remarkable. We find as we go through it, there's something familiar about this. What this man Elisha is doing, wait a moment, somebody else did something like this. Oh, it was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? He did that. Elisha, God, our healer. Well, what happened here? Well, first of all, very, very welcome thing, wasn't it? This woman from this town called Shunem, we read she was a notable woman. That's interesting. A bit of Velcro had dropped off, and I found it in my pocket, and I've just discovered where it came off. So we'll just do a little adjustment here. Running repairs. Look at that. You didn't even notice. Good. Right. Back with you. Normal service resumed. Oh, dear. Not quite. A kind gesture. Oh, that bit came off then. He used to go by visiting there, and she had offered him somewhere to stay, somewhere to come, have a meal. And she then said to her husband, I think she was a bit ahead of him, wasn't she, in thinking this through. He's out there worrying about the herds or whatever he's doing. So she says, why don't we make a little room for him, build it on the top there, something like that. We've got a bed in there and a table and a lamp. So whenever he's by this way, he can come and stay with us. She seemed to be the one, didn't she, who was really at the forefront of all of this. And of course, that's what happened. And so when he was out ministering, he used to travel a lot, like Elijah in that way, like Samuel as well. These prophets, they used to go to one place and another. And so he was able, when he was by that way, to go and stay there. No travel lodge in those days, no Airbnb in those days. Generosity of this woman. And her husband, we'll give him credit for this as well, shall we? He probably paid for it, so there we go. We'll give him credit for that. Well, wait a minute. There's something familiar about this, right? Our bit of Bible study time here. We're saying Elisha and things that happened to him, it's a bit like the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Oh, cogs whirring, cogs whirring, cogs whirring. Wait a minute. The Lord Jesus. Well, he used to stay, didn't he, with some good friends. And there was a family, wasn't there? There's Martha. It's called Martha's home. It's as if, you know, in a way, she was on the front foot in offering this. And Mary, and then Lazarus, a brother. And he used to go and stay with them. We have that famous occasion where Martha was in the kitchen and distracted by much preparation. And she then, we've had her, I think, a few years ago, didn't we? I remember it. And she then comes through to the Lord in a bit of high dudgeon. And don't you care that I'm doing all of this work and my sister here is just listening to you? Tell her to come and help me in the kitchen. The Lord has to sort of just deal with her a little bit and get her perspective a little bit clearer on things. But there was generosity, and it was the women at the forefront of it. We read, actually, don't we, that there were many women, some notable women, who looked after the Lord Jesus and cared for his needs. Somebody there from the household of Herod the Tetrarch, from the big family, and Joanna and various others there who looked after him. How interesting. Ding, ding. Cogs are whirring. How interesting. A type of Christ. There's Elisha being looked after, finding a home, finding somewhere that would look after him. And then the Lord Jesus. It happened exactly the same to him with Mary and Martha. Your takeaway this morning, isn't the Bible an amazing book, okay? That's your takeaway. Isn't the Bible an amazing book? Isn't this, oh, we don't say story, do we? Timothy said, don't say narrative, that's too clumsy. Say an account, all right? So it's an account. Is not this account amazing? Is it not adding up to things? You go, that happened hundreds of years before, nearly 1,000, not quite, say 700 or so. That happened way, way, way before. Who could have planned that? I couldn't. You couldn't. God could. It's God's book, and it's amazing. All right. Hold that one there. So we have him staying, don't we, with this kind family. The Velcro is just not there for me today, is it at all? Let's put that bit under there. I think that's where it came from. A kind gesture. Now, Elisha appreciates this family. We learn, don't we, that the Lord loved Lazarus. He loved him. And when he died, he showed how much he loved him, didn't he? But because he came back and raised him from the dead. That's interesting, isn't it? Just ding, ding there a minute. We've got this house, we've got this family, and there's going to be some death in this family. We know that because we've read that in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we also know Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Oh, wait a minute, John chapter 11, Lazarus dies, doesn't it? And then he's raised from the dead. Well, that's a bit interesting too, isn't it? But we'll hold that one there for a moment, because the next one is this. A birth is announced. So this woman from Shunem, Elisha asks, well, what can I do for her? He's got a servant, Gehazi, right? So he asks him, go and ask her, what does she want? Can I speak to the king for you? Is there some favor that you need? Do you need the army to go and fight some bad neighbors or do something like that for you? Let me know. And, oh, she's comfortable dwelling among her own people. But here's the thing. She has no child. She has no son. And her husband is quite old. And so what does Elisha do then? Well, he announces to her, this time next year, you will have a son. You'll have a son. The husband's old, and there's the poor Shunammite woman. What does she make of that? She thinks, don't jest with me. Don't tell me something that's just not going to happen. My husband's quite old, and is this going to happen? And Elisha promises her, yes, it will. And the Lord is going to honor what I'm saying. Now, this is a real ding, 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 cogs moving here. Here's your Bible study here. Well, where's the Lord Jesus come into that one? Where does he come into that one? Well, I'll tell you where he comes into it. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, you say. What's that? Yes, put your hands up, everybody there who's got Genesis 18 in mind. Well, this is when the Lord visits Abraham and Sarah. And they have no child. And they're very old. And, well, physically speaking, this is now, well, gone, finished, an impossibility. They've got a promise they've been given, but how is that promise going to go anywhere? They're too old now, surely. And they get three visitors, two angels, and one other person who is the main speaker. Do you know who we think that is? The Lord Jesus, before he came. So here's your big word for today. Your takeaway, isn't the Bible an amazing book? But the other, a big word, theophany. Right, cope with that one. Right, theophany. That means this appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before, if you will, he is the Lord Jesus Christ in the body, come into the world. But even before he came in the flesh, the Bible dropped hints to us. This is what he's going to do. He's going to come in the flesh. And you get these sort of early appearances of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. peering way back. Genesis chapter 18, this is way back. All right, the Lord's got some things to say about Sodom and Gomorrah, but here's the big thing he tells, a birth. He announces a birth. And in the way that time moves, and we wonder what that means. And some commentators say that means in a year's time, actually. This time next year is what that's saying, that Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah kind of goes, what? Why am I going to have this pleasure at my age? You think of the Shunammite woman and her elderly husband. And guess what happens? Shunammite woman has a son. And Sarah, in her old age, bears a son. That's Isaac. That's the child of promise. He is the one from which line, eventually, of course, the Lord Jesus himself is going to come. Well, look at that. Isn't the Bible amazing? This happened way back. This is Genesis. We're a long way back here in time. Thousands of years before the Lord Jesus came. And there's somebody doing things that Elisha's going to do, a type of Christ. It's almost as if it's come back from the past there, and here it is in the future with Elisha, and he's reminding us, actually, of something the Lord Jesus has already done, announcing a birth that seems incredible in a year's time, somebody who shouldn't really be able to have a child, but they do. And remarkable that that is. Right, but here's further, because we know what happens with that child. Child is raised. Okay. He's grown up. Good. Growing up there, and his father's out working in the fields there and the reapers, and out he goes to them. The son is out there. Well, we'll put it kindly, he's helping, right? He's helping. And then suddenly, oh, we don't know what it is quite, but suddenly his head, he is in absolute agony. And so they take him back home quickly to his mother. She has him on her knees, and then he dies. Oh, what that must have been. What that must have been. But what a woman of faith, isn't she? What a woman of faith. That she, even when she's asked, because she's getting the donkey saddled and getting a servant ready, they're going to go to the man of God. He's at Mount Carmel. We've been there before with Elijah, actually. It's a bit of Elijah comes in here with this. And we're going to go to the man of God. She doesn't tell anybody why. We're going to go quickly. She tells the servant, don't delay, travel quickly. There's Elisha. Prayer perhaps there. And he's watching. He sees her coming. He knows something's happening. Doesn't know what because God hasn't shown him, but he knows. And he sends Gehazi to go to her. And she won't talk to him. Wisely so, really, because he turns out not to be so good at all, this one. But then she comes to Elisha, and he's anxious. How are you? How's your husband? How's your child? And that, of course, is where the issue is. And she says, did I not say to you, are you going to really give me a child? Well, he is now dead. So Elisha gives his staff to Gehazi, tells him, don't stop, hurry forward, don't greet anybody on the road, go straight to the child, put the staff on him and try to raise him. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell his disciples, travel quickly, don't greet anybody on the road, don't take extra clothes and things to wear, just one knapsack there, one tunic will do it, don't take a load of money in your purse there, travel quickly, you're on a mission. Oh, he did do that, didn't he? How interesting. And there's Elisha doing something similar, and he's told his disciples, go and raise the dead, and then heal the sick, cast out the demons. Right. Of course, we might also think that's going to come up another week, so you're getting a little bit of a sneak preview on this one. Doesn't Gehazi remind us a little bit of Judas Iscariot? He's going to foul up badly. He's going to go downhill. And there he is already, perhaps not quite showing himself to be the real deal here. How interesting. These bits and pieces keep occurring to us. And we have to say, isn't the Bible a remarkable book? Well, anyway, the news comes back to Elisha that the boy is still very much dead. So he goes into the room. It must be with Gehazi, we read. Goes into the room there. There's the boy lying very, very dead. Very, very dead. He stretches out on him. He's praying. And he begins to get warm. And then he prays again, and he's stretched out on him, eye to eye, mouth to mouth in that way, hand to hand on that. And then isn't it wonderful what Scripture says? He sneezed 7 times. Don't you love the detail of it? He sneezed 7 times, not 5, not 6, not 8. It was 7. There it is, this little detail, wonderfully preserved there in Scripture. So then this incredible miracle, there it is. Oh, he sneezed 7 times. Then Elisha calls for the woman and presents her with her son alive. The child is raised. We read of one just a moment ago, Luke chapter 7, the widow of Nain, and how this woman lost her only son. There she was, it was a funeral. And the Lord stops the procession, doesn't he? And he touches the coffin, and the boy wakes up and he's alive. And we learn from that he then presents him to his mother. Elisha again. He's a type of Christ, isn't he? He's an example to us. He's doing things, saying things, being things that the Lord Jesus, that he's going to be. And the people said of the Lord, great prophet has visited us. Well, he was a prophet, as our Lord, prophet, priest, and king. And there's Elisha, a great prophet, and he's pointing us forward to the Lord Jesus. Of course, we know he raised that lad. We talked about Lazarus. He raises him. So from this household that has shown him kindness, but there's a death there. And he raises Lazarus. And here it's a child. Okay. He's raised the child. And we know too about Jairus's daughter. Yeah. 12-year-old. There she is, sick, dying. Then the news, she is actually dead. But he goes in, doesn't he? And he awakens that child and she is able to get up and have something to eat. Amazing. These little details, you see, sneeze 7 times. Aren't these details just something else that the Bible has? All of this puts it there in a most incredible supernatural event. There's a little human feature, little detail there. A child is raised. So there's your takeaway. Bit of a Bible study this morning. All fits together, doesn't it? It's all telling us something. You couldn't make it up. You couldn't sort of say, right, we'll just sort of fit this in here, and we'll fit that bit in there, and we'll construct something out of this. No, we find with Elisha, there's something familiar about this. In fact, he reminds us a bit of Elijah when he raises the widow's son at Zarephath. We had that, didn't we, some months ago now. But there's a similarity there in that. Why, we can even think of Peter raising Dorcas when he goes into the room, prays for her, and she revives, and she presents her back to all the people that were grieving for her. That's the Bible for you. That's the Bible for you. There is no other book on earth like it. It's supernatural. It's a living word. It's all there. Genesis, we've been there. We've been in 2 Kings. We've nipped forward to Acts for Peter. We've been there in Luke. We've been there in John. And we're finding the Lord Jesus all over Elisha's ministry. And we're seeing things there that are going to happen later on. A bigger way, in a more fulfilling way, in a stronger way. Somebody greater than Elisha is going to come. And if you haven't got this yet, get this. The whole book is about Jesus Christ. The Christian faith, well, clues in the name, isn't it? It's all about Jesus Christ. And that's his book, the Bible. That's his testimony. And it's a gift to you, and it's a gift to me, and that's what we have. It's what God has given to us. To be amazed at it. So we turn its pages. And I could have actually gone on, well, we'd have missed lunch probably. I could have gone on here and given you plenty more. Oh, the little hints. And oh, look at that. That's just like the Lord Jesus did. That passage is absolutely full of them. You know, we even got Gehazi going, trying to shoo the woman away when she comes and clasps the feet of the Lord, of Elisha. Oh, the disciples did that, didn't they? They were always getting it wrong. And when people came, we had the Canaanite woman there pleading with the Lord for her daughter who was demon-possessed at home. They said, oh, go away. Tell her to go. She's always crying out. They just didn't get it. They just didn't see that. Whereas there was Elisha. He listened to her. He had compassion, just like the Lord Jesus. And so you come to him. You believe in him, right? You believe in him with all your heart. Because he's given us a book that is so trustworthy, so extraordinary, so heaven-sent, that really, well, what are we looking for? If we can't be happy with that, what are we wanting God yet to do? It's an amazing book. So everywhere. And when you read it, look out for this. Beginning of a new year, just about, isn't it? 12th of Jan, we'll settle for that beginning of. Near as makes no difference. You get reading that book and you find those links and you see where there's something familiar about this. Oh, yeah. And it's the Lord Jesus who's just making you think about him there. You get into that book and you read it for all it's worth. So may God bless us. Beginning of our new year, we'll travel along with Elisha. We've got a fair few more extraordinary happenings to go with him there. And let's sing now a final hymn. Number 670, I will sing the wondrous story.